I'm supposed to introduce myself. My name is Gerard Klein. I'm a clinical psychologist. I work here in Toronto. I have a private practice. I deal with children and adolescents mainly. Part of my practice is doing a lot of assessments on learning disabilities, ADHD, Asperger's, autistic, those type of individuals. I'm also a consultant to two or three mental health agencies, including Griffin Center, PLC, Children's Aid. I'm also asked to consult because of certain expertise I have in disabilities and a number of psychiatric hospitals as well. I'm also the psychologist for Netivot HaTorah, which is Orthodox school, where I do the assessments and do the consultation on different kids there. I'm married. I have four children. One's married. One's going to get married. Is engaged. One is in Israel, and one is my teenager and my younger one, and we'll talk about that another time. What else can I tell you? That's about it. That's enough. My approach in terms of working, as you'll realize very quickly, is very much cognitive behavioral, although I've been trained in systemic family therapy as well as different types of individual therapy, but my major work these days, because I work a lot with anger and ADD and anxiety disorders, is cognitive behavioral. There are some, I hope there's some handouts over there. There's more here. Hello. Can you do me a favor? Put this in the back. Okay. You're back. It's my charm, I know. Okay. It's my charm. Wait till you finish. Okay, anyways. It's probable that all of you as parents, and I think all of you are parents, have had to deal with your your anger or your child's anger. I'm sure you wouldn't be here if you weren't dealing with your children's anger. What probably bothers you is not so much that kids become angry. All of us have to deal with our children's anger, but rather than when they become angry, they lose control and often make very bad decisions. What also probably bothers you is that you're not always sure why to get angry, because sometimes it's the most innocuous, least important issue that seems to produce this temper tantrum. Or in my parlance, the way I talk about it is, what are the triggers that make them so frustrated? There's should be some more handouts in the back there. Are there? Okay. You need them. In other words, the typical example is you're ready to go out to an important engagement, and then your child decides to refuse to go and has their temper tantrum, and you're having a real difficulty understanding what was so important that they had that temper tantrum at this time. This is not a parenting workshop, okay? Although in my experience, many areas of anger are a direct outcome of parenting issues. And often, it's an issue because anger is in the household itself, that some one parent or two parents don't know how to handle their own anger themselves. Not always, but many times. What this workshop is learning some better skills and strategies of how to process and to talk to your children with their feelings and emotions so that they will learn better ways of coping with their anger. There's handouts out there. Yes, there are. Here. Thank you. And I know I should talk about parenting and how parenting affects anger, but really the onus in this workshop is how to help the child learn better strategies by teaching you the same strategies as you should teach your children. So it's really a hand-on type of workshop, and that's why the handouts, I'll say it again because I said that in the beginning, you might want to write things in the back and use it as copies or things that you may want to copy off and use it with your kids. Okay? The idea is that by teaching strategies, at least it's a good point to begin addressing the issues of how to help children handle and manage their anger. Now, anger, since this is a Jewish parenting thing, anger is something that has been addressed by Maimonides, the Rambam, where, as you know, in his commentary or his work on Jewish law, there's handouts there. Handouts. I have some more here. Okay, thank you. As you know, followed some of the Aristotelian model about the golden rule, about the golden mean, the Shvil HaZahav. But in two areas, he did not follow Aristotle, and one was anger. The golden mean is you shouldn't be too stingy and you shouldn't be too open-handed with things, but you should, at sense, take a golden rule, the Shvil HaZahav. But when it comes to anger, the idea was for him, his idea was that eventually you have to get rid of anger. You have to get rid of your anger. However, that's a challenge for a lifetime, because very few people can ever reach that level where they don't get angry about any situation. But at least today, let me give you a start to help your children deal with their anger a little bit better than they have so far. Now, if you look on page 1 is the page after the introductory page, I spell out exactly what the purpose of this workshop is. The purpose of this workshop is to learn strategies and skills that will help them learn better ways of handling their anger and frustrations. It is based on a cognitive behavioral model that emphasizes the idea that beliefs and feelings can be controlled by our cognitive and thinking processes. Learning these anger control strategies will empower them to make some positive decisions when they are confronted with situations where they will benefit from controlling the anger, their emotions. It also will help them take responsibility for their own anger. Now, this is very, very important. What this anger strategy that I'm going to teach you is, in a sense, to put the onus back on the child for them to own when they get angry. Okay? It's their responsibility, and they have to learn. And that's something they have to learn from very early on. Now, if you look on page 2, anger is not... I don't have any more... yes, if I could find a copy. Just 1 second. Oh, I have one more.
You want to think about it?
Yeah, okay. Please. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sorry, can I put your microphone a bit higher, sir?
Yes.
Excuse me, sir.
It's my stomach. It's in the way, right? Thank you. Okay. Anger is secondary. Is not. You don't. Nobody is angry. People are angry because of something. Okay? Very few, unless you have some type of lesion in your brain, nobody gets angry. You usually get angry because of something. So, for example, anger usually comes out from some type of feeling of pain or loss, something that bothers you. So, for example, here in page 2, you'll see different issues that can cause the secondary issue of angry. Betrayed, guilty, disconnected, fearful, betrayed could be. I expected something to happen and it didn't happen. You have a loss, you get angry. Resentful, how come my younger brother gets an extra treat? I don't get an extra treat. That gives you a pain, a loss, and that will cause you to become angry. Rejected, embarrassed. So anger always comes from something. It doesn't come from just being angry. Although there are certain children that sometimes you have the feeling they're born angry, but that's beside the point. That's something you can ask me afterwards. There are certain kids that have this tendency to where everything they do, to react in a very angry way. But usually those are kids who are pretty stressed out type of kids and pretty rigid. But basically most kids get angry because something happened. Okay, now on page 3, this is from a book called Angry All the Time, An Emergency Guide to Anger Control. It talks about the 6 main reasons why people are stay angry. Power and control, giving away responsibility, not your fault, poor communication skills, a defense against other feelings and closeness. I'm not going to get into all of that. But what I'd like to do is to show you this ladder here that talks about the anger and violence ladder. What it's talking about here is the 8 ways when anger suddenly can go as a ladder from least to worse. 1, first you have sneaky anger, which is like forgetting, playing dumb, I forgot my thing, I forgot my homework. Then the cold shoulder, ignoring people. Then you get a little more direct and sneaky anger, blaming and shaming. Persons blames others for their problems. Then swearing, screaming, and yelling, more direct. Demands and threats. And then finally chasing and holding. And sometimes you even get to the point where they start kicking you or holding you, as some kids do with their parents or to the siblings. And then eventually is blind rage, where you have certain kids who are basically so angry at that moment that they become so violent and aggressive. So you can see that all of these steps, one step after another, lead to eventually, especially let's say in adults, where you're going to be so angry that you're going to become violent as well. Okay. Now, if you look in the introduction page, go back to page things, it says that the ability to recognize unsupported reactions is the second topic that I'm going to talk about. All right? And here you have on page, I think page 4, the what's called the ABC. Now, the ability to recognize unsupported reactions has extreme importance. Okay? The reason it's so important, you know, I can move back a little bit and people can move forward. Maybe that would be helpful. No? People are squashed in the back. Yes, we're getting some more, I was told about 20 people were going to come, so. I made 50, so I was wrong. Okay, what can I tell you? Okay. The ability to recognize unsupported reactions is basically the ABC of aggressive behavior. What we're trying to do is teach your child that there's that in order to and I'm to understand that there is a certain pattern. This is the behavioral work that they review certain situations that they have encountered from the perspective of A, what's called the activating event, which is the antecedent, what led up to the situation. We want the children to begin to understand what caused the situation. So, for example, when did it happen? Where did it happen? Who else was involved? What happened? That's called the A, the antecedent. The second one is B, what will you do? We want the child to begin to recognize that they have a decision to make and the response is based on that decision. What were your reasons for reacting in that manner? Okay? What was the reasons? So, for example, you describe what you did. You broke something, you talked to someone, you ignored it, you hurt yourself. This is the behavior the person does himself. And C is the consequence. What were the consequences? In most cases, there's a consequence. Most of you, if your child gets in trouble because they become angry or something like that, you would give them a consequence. Sometimes the consequence is positive and sometimes it's negative. We want to explore whether the child can recognize the consequence and decide that they would prefer to avoid them in the future. What was the outcome? What is it what you hope for? In other words, if you're always going to get negative consequences, maybe it's just thinking about a different way of handling. Or you as parents, maybe you might want to start giving some positive reinforcement for when the child uses some good control strategies. So you go from A, learning what it is, what are the antecedents, the behavior, describing it, and see, this is extremely important because what happens with anger situations, probably always happens with anger situations, is that it becomes a very confusing melange and nobody knows what is the A, what caused it, what was the behavior, and what was C. And the more you can do it, the more you can see a pattern that occurs in terms of that behavior. So that's very important. That's why I gave you a hassle log, which is number 5. Okay? And this is something, now, it's something you can do with your children. Or if you don't like doing it with your children, do it with your spouse. Let them learn how to do it as well. So the hassle log is exactly what we were talking about, ABC, right? It's easy to do. It's basically a check mark. Okay? All right? These they are making some extra copies, so you will get these copies. Not my fault. Okay. All right. So all you have to do is has to tick certain things that are happening. Where are you? What happened? Who was that somebody? What did you do? And you just tick it off. So, for example, if it happens in a school and during recess, where did it happen? In a classroom, in a hall, outside. What happened? Someone teased me. Who was that somebody? A fellow student. What did you do? I hit them back. How did you handle yourself? Now comes the very important thing that is really important in learning about anger and control. You're teaching the child how to evaluate yourself. Okay, please. Right, right. So one of the things that's a great question, and thank you for asking it. And I think what you never, when a child is really angry, it's not the time to start getting them to fill out a chart. What you're trying to do here is trying to get them to say, you know, we have a problem. The other thing that's really important in terms of anger, because I feel there's so much, many times the anger comes from the household. There's somebody else in the family who's not handling anger well. I think it's really important for you to model. You know, I'm going to do this. Can you join together? And we're going to do it together. In fact, the whole family's going to do it. And it works. You know, it really works. And then you get a child to do these hassle logs, any type of situation. You explain to them what you're trying to do. You're trying to find out what causes this anger. Because many times kids don't like to be angry. It's not something people prefer to do. Most people don't prefer to do. But this is something you do when you're more relaxed. And many things I'm going to talk about, you can't do it when the child is angry. You have to do it before or afterwards, and you have to do it on a consistent basis as well. Okay? So then, and then it says, how did you handle yourself? Because you're saying, you know, we got to stop this thing about blaming that you get angry. We got to find a way of evaluating how you find yourself when you're angry. That's an evaluation component. So how did you handle yourself? By evaluating, the child is starting to take some responsibility. Remember, the comment I said was the ability to recognize unsupported reactions. You're starting to get the child to start looking at their own behavior, because often what happens is they don't know what's going on with themselves. So you're trying to get them a way to learn how to start evaluating. And how angry were you is very important, because there are different situations where you can have different levels of anger as well. So this hassle log is really, really important. Okay? And that goes into the ABC, learning what the A was, where were you, B, your behavior, and C, the consequence. And the consequence doesn't only external, you're beginning to teach the child the internal consequence. Well, how did you feel? How did you value yourself? And that's what's the next part, which is really, really important. The next thing is called body cues. Okay. So it says here's the rule. you must first know when you are angry before you can use strategies or control your anger. You'd be surprised how many people, adults and children, don't know that they're angry at that moment. But I'm not angry. But you are angry. And there is a body cue that everybody has. On page 7, which I'm not going to go through all of it, anytime there is an anger reaction, whether from embarrassment, rejection, loss, or something like that, there's always some type of physiological change in the body. Okay? So now I'm going to see if there's any volunteers here, all 70 of you here. Does anybody want to tell me what is your body cue when you get angry? What exactly makes you, what is your body cue when you're angry? Now, you can have more than one. You can have 2 or 3. Some people have 4. Okay? It's very, very important. That's the lady. Lightheaded? Okay. Your face becomes flushed? Okay. Yeah, your heart starts to race. Okay. Anybody know what your kid's body cue is?
I have an 18-year-old, and she starts like...
Okay. Oh, yeah? That's a good one. Okay.
Jaws hanging?
Okay. Tightening. Blotches come out? Okay. So, below are some body cues many of us experience. Muscles tighten, tense up, face feels hot, looks red, breathing gets faster, heart pounds hard, stomach feel like a knot, eyes narrow, squint, jaws tighten, body shakes, fists clench, and many people have 2 or 3 of these things, and there are different types of situations where they may have 1 or 2. It's very, very important to know what your body cue is. Why? Because that's the next part. Because if you know your body cue, then you can start doing something already to reduce your anger. Okay? So the next page, not page 7, but page 8, this is the workhorse. This is the stuff that you're going to have to learn very well and help your children to learn. And I will read it out. I'm sorry about being boring and reading out, but this is very important. These are called anger reducers. Anger reducers are, if you know your cue, then you can know what you can do at that moment to reduce the anger. Okay? There are different degrees of anger. Sometimes you're angry, but you're in control, right? Like the child who wants that piece of treat. Other times you're so angry you feel like you're going to lose control, or you do lose control. That kid who really loses control all the time, every time they get upset. The anger control strategy list below will help you calm down before you lose control. Some strategies will work best when you are really upset. Other strategies work best before you get to the point of almost losing control. Each person is different and needs to find a strategy or strategies that work best. Okay? So, if part of the strategies are sort of like prophylactics, you go into a situation, you learn to do something in order to make sure that you reduce the anger. Some of the anger is such that if you're so upset, you start doing something to calm it down. But the real reason why you want to use anger reducers is what I said before, is it's not only that you want a child to learn how to become less angry, you want a child to learn to make good decisions. Okay? And if you're so angry that you can't control yourself, you can't make some good choices at that moment. So part of the whole thing here of using anger reducers is before you hit your sister, count backwards as I'll go through all of them, do something, and that will give you a good choice about what you should handle at that point. Now, I'm going to go through all of them very quickly, and I'm just going to add some stuff to it that you may want to add on the sheet for yourselves. The first one, deep breathing, is basically you can teach a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, to breathe in such a way that you're blowing out candles, your birthday candles. Very slowly through your nose and very slowly through your mouth. If you want to use that and you do it, and as they get older, 8, 9, you should teach them about candles, blowing out candles. And the important thing about deep breathing is you should not teach a child while they're angry. Thank you. Is you should be teaching the child every day, let's spend a minute doing some deep breathing. so that when the situation comes, when they get upset, that's when they can use it. If you use it when they're angry, it's not going to work. But if you do learn it before, and this comes to a very important point, if your child is such that he's really out of control in terms of their anger, or you're out of control of your anger, then you have to learn a new skill. Learning a new skill does not change in one day. You don't, nobody reads in one day. Learn to read. The same thing, you don't learn to read in one day, you're not going to learn anger strategies in one day either. It's going to take time. You've got to break it up. And one of the things you need to do in terms of these strategies is to prepare it by working in certain ways. And the reason why you want to do deep breathing, because it's very hard, unless you're a psychopath, right, to be relaxed and to be angry at the same time. It doesn't work. Okay? So deep breathing is really, really important. Consequences. For some kids it helps, very few, I don't know, it's not a great one. Just think of, you can warn the kid, if you do this, if you get upset, then this will happen. It usually doesn't work that well. But anyways, the next one, I want you to write a word for me, please, on your thing, for those who have it. They're making other ones, you'll get at the end, I hope, some for the ones who don't have these sheets. It's self-talk. Self-talk, really, I would like to change that to a reminder word, okay? A reminder word is something that you can use as a word that you can teach the child, even four-year-olds or three-year-olds, a word that will remind them when they get angry, what's the word to tell you to sort of calm down, cool it, or those type of thing. That's a reminder word. In other words, you have the cues, you have the reminder word, and then you can use your anger reducers. But a reminder word is a great thing to use because it reminds the child what he has to do. So reminder words are anything like, you know, freeze, cool it, make like an iceberg, you know, stop signal, if they're more visual, whatever you want, that's very, very important to use these type of words because that reminds you what you have to do. Okay? Count. I wrote it on the thing, I hope it came out, is counting for young children, 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, counting to 10 is very helpful because it gives you that few seconds for them to learn to make good decisions at that point. But older children who learn how to count, counting backwards even from 10 is almost like a reflex. It's not going to work. You need to count backwards from 20. You can try it yourself right now. All of you try it if you want. Count backwards from 10 and count backwards from 20. You'll see there's a big difference between them. And therefore, that's very important. And counting is really good because, again, gives the child in certain situations that little second to make a good choice at that point. Okay. 5 is remove yourself. Or walk away. That is a very good strategy for many kids as a start. When they get into altercations and they have a certain trigger, a certain kid that they know they're going to get into trouble, telling them how to walk away and reinforcing them for walking away in different situations is easy, it's quick, and it really is concrete for them to use. Walk away. It gives you an example here about, you know, the principal, or, you know, you're going to hit the principal or something like that, but you sort of, rather than hitting principal, run out of the office, you get into trouble, but it's better than hurting the principal. But the point is that it's a very good strategy to teach children to walk away because it's concrete, and you can see them do it, and you can help them in that moment. Because sometimes a lot of kids don't know enough, just walk away. And if you teach them that's a good strategy and you reinforce it, you'll see they'll start using it. Number 6 is visual imagery. And again, that's like the deep breathing. If you really want it to be effective, you have to start that before you start using as a reducer. Visual imagery is basically, think of a very relaxing, calm scene, right? When I'm away from my kids in vacation, it's a very calm scene, okay? That's what we're talking about. But for a kid, it could be anything like being on the beach, playing hockey, playing with my dolls, sitting in front of the fire, anything that could sit for a minute and just visualize or even think about listening to music. And sometimes you can even put it together and do it with the music, do it with the deep breathing as well. So that's really very helpful. But again, that's something you practice before you teach the child to do it. And it's a good one with a deep breathing for a child who really, really gets angry and really loses it and really is very stressed out at that moment. And if your child is a stressed out kid who really has problems and gets angry because of being stressed out, that in fact is the type of child that you should be doing a lot of deep breathing and visual imagery. Okay, number seven is plan ahead. This is really something we're going to talk about in a second called triggers, and it has to do with planning ahead of avoiding certain triggers and thinking about what are the situations that are going to get me angry. And number eight is your own strategy. Despite what some people say, for some kids, hitting a pillow sometimes is enough for them to get less angry. For some kids, hitting a pillow or something is in fact the opposite. That what it does, it makes them more aroused, and they become even angrier. But everybody has to learn their own strategy, and this is not the be-all and end-all. And the other thing is, not all strategies work for everybody. Everybody has to pick one strategy that works very quickly and one strategy that calms them down. And that's how usually I work with the kids, to teach them a couple of things that they use all the time. Can I answer that at the end? Okay. I'd like to answer that question. Okay. The next thing, any questions about reducers? Yes, please.
It seems to me that the kid who is angry, and also me who is angry, at the moment of being angry, I don't want to give up the power of the anger.
Right.
And these techniques are sort of designed to sap the energy of that power. I mean, I think that's part of the
I think I'm answering in the next part. If I don't, then I'll answer it afterwards. Okay? And I didn't say before, but I run anger control groups, and part of the work that we do, which I will talk about in a second, is a lot on the cognitive distortions that people have. And in fact, this workshop that I'm giving today, it should be about an 8 to 10 week workshop. I'm giving you a snippet so that you can take something home and start working with. But in fact, it's like a quick, you know, look at what takes a long time. But I'm trying to give you something concrete at least to start working with. And part of the work, which I will talk about in a second, is that's the cognitive part. How to change people's approach and thinking, and what we call cognitive distortions, and that's a really important part as well, which doesn't work well with an 18-month-old, okay, where you have to use much more external type of strategies and relaxation and stuff like that, and probably more parenting type of things than you have to use individual, but it's something that works even with the 5 and 6 and 7-year-olds and out. Okay, so we talked about it before, the ABC. Okay, so there's an antecedent that always causes a behavior that always causes a consequence. If you find that you give a hug every time they're angry, right, that in fact what happens afterwards, they become less angry, then as we say, kala kavod, great, you've found it. My feeling is that if you do that every time, the child will never learn coping strategies, self-soothing, and probably will stay angry for a long, long time. Well, my feeling is that if a child, I'm not sure, I would need to know more about when the child gets angry, but again, as I say, if it works and the child becomes less angry and is able to cope in other things very well, then it works. That's the ABC model. That's a real behavioral model of how I'm looking at it. Go ahead. Well, that's the stuff that is the typical parenting style. What I'm trying to teach you is there are other ways of starting to analyze it and seeing, okay, I do that, but sometimes I'm ready to go out in outside, or I'm ready to go and I don't have time to do that. So, and if it's so chronic, the anger all the time, that it's taking a long time to get to that point, right, then you better do some steps before and Right. And that's why when you're doing when you're working with children who are angry, you're working with the parents because they want immediate answers. Because anger is an immediate reaction to situations, and what you and your response to it is you're being forced in some ways to respond immediately. And what I'm saying, let's take a step backwards. Let's analyze the pattern. Let's see what the reaction is and work back from there. And let's try a different strategy. Okay. A trigger, that's a good one, is something that happens that you choose to get angry about when someone calls you a bad name. Again, the choice. You don't have to get angry, but that's what a trigger is. There are two types of triggers. External triggers and internal triggers. An external trigger are things that people say or do that you feel angry about. Another person pushing you, and examples they say, and if you want, there's not enough time today, I will get you to put your external triggers, but someone makes a face at you, someone gossips about you, you fail a test. Those are external a threat, you know, my sister coming and sitting in my chair, that's an external trigger. However, the work that we do is really much more on the internal triggers, okay? Because the internal triggers is what the child tells himself to do after the poke, the tease, or threat, okay? When considering the aspect of internal triggers, there are two considerations to be aware of. One, that is not unusual for children who have anger difficulties to misinterpret the social situation. They do not believe that neutral or accidental situation should occur, right? Okay? And two, the importance of the role of the person's self-talk. This refers to the types of internal message they give themselves. Both items are extremely important to explore their cognitive structures. And I'm not going to talk about very much into cognitive structures, but that, in fact, is the meat of working with anger control, is to change the child from 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8, their internal structure, how they see a situation. But before I get into that, because often they'll make a lot of what is called thinking errors, okay? And what you're trying to get the child is to learn different ways of approaching their thinking errors. So internal triggers are things that you tell yourself, like you tell yourself people will think you're a sissy if you don't fight. You tell yourself you're stupid and you can't pass the test because you failed the last two tests you took. You keep thinking about a fight you had with your brother. You think about how you can revenge. Anybody else want to add some internal triggers from your own experiences, if you dare? External is easy. Internal is much harder to think about. Anybody? Come on. Right. So you put your thinking in a box that everybody is stupid, everybody's always bothering me. Right. Right. In that box. Okay. Very good. Anybody else? Perfect. Perfect. Right. That's a thinking error, right? I know. Right. Exactly. That's a very good example. Somebody else had it right? Yeah.
Feel like you're not heard.
Right. No one ever hears me. Therefore, you get angry. Okay. Anybody else? An internal trigger that person is an idiot or does something like me. Yeah, those are the exactly. Okay. Well, that's an external trigger, but the internal trigger is what? I think I'm stupid. Okay, that's the thing you have to change, because you can tease me and you can call me an idiot, right? Or you can call me a slob, which probably is true, okay? Or you can call me a lot of different things, but the point is that what I think about it, right? Okay?
How you react
How I react? No, how I think about it, what I think about it, it will determine how I react about it. Okay? If you could think that process, then that will change the way you react to the situation. Okay? So what I did, and I really do not want to go too much into it, okay, because it will take a long time, but I've given you 10B. I decided this today, in fact, to give it to you so you can take it home, all right, is distorted thinking. And I am sure that if I go through just the headings, I'm not going to go through all the definitions, that probably a lot of your kids have the first one, all or nothing thinking. There's no grace. Everything is either good or bad, and there's never anything in between. That, in fact, is something that is one of the biggest problems with anger, with kids who get angry, because they tend to be so rigid in their approach. On the other hand, it's sometimes they come from families where everything is very rigid, and they learn that model that as well. Overgeneralizing is another one. Catastrophizing, making things bigger than they are, minimization, making things less, predicting the future, always negative thoughts, it's going to have a good time, and that's why they have their temper tantrum before you go out, because last time something happened, they always predict wrong. Sometimes because of learning disabilities as well, they don't do well, but that's a different issue. Ignoring the positives, predicting the future, fixed rules, words that should, ought, must, and thinking rigidly, all these type of things when you're really working with kids with anger, and it's not your job. I'm giving you the other stuff to do, but my job, or you can help or learn more about it, is to teach them and to challenge them on their thoughts. Did that really happen every time? Did it happen? Are you sure about that? Let's see about this example. You really, in a sense, need to do, you can challenge your children, but if you're going to do it in an angry way, you're just going to add to more anger. And personalization is always making it a personal thing, or for some kids it's always an ego trip. Everything is surrounded about them. So those are some ideas that perhaps if I give a talk again, I would on part two, I would really talk about, you know, the cognitive areas and how to work through them. And now comes a very important area, and then I'll open up to questions, is called evaluation, self-evaluation. It's page 11, problem solving, which is really the last topic, and I use what's called the upset model. The upset model, which teach your kids, and you can teach your own kids, is, and you could sit with them. If you're to the point that you can sit with them and talk about their anger and stuff like that, you can do this as well. Is step one, and even you can do it with young children. I've worked with kids and I've got them to draw pictures and stuff like that. It does not always have to be words. Step one is understand the problem, plan a list of alternate solutions, help the child. That stops the rigidity, to find different ways to think about things, select one solution, select one anger control strategy, establish how to use the solution, which is really, really important, because what you read, if you read on the second line, in step four, what are all the factors you have to consider to ensure that your plan is successful? How that you have announced it, even number one, how that you have chosen your plan, decide how you will actually accomplish it, but also... I'm talking about the wrong one. I apologize. Take that away. Step five, talk. Once you try a solution, use either self-talk or talk with others. Was your solution successful in solving your problem? In other words, the self-evaluation, the importance of self-evaluation is such that you have to help the child understand that when you start the anger control, the reducers and everything like that, in the beginning, the probability they won't be that successful. You have to say to them in a positive way, it didn't work that well this time, but at least you tried this. Let's try another solution. You really have to model a much more evaluative model. Not everything works. And that's what number five is. Was your solution successful in solving your problem? Is a positive way of looking at things and how to work with your children at that point. And the last one, and I'll open it up, is I've given you some coping statements that a child can learn for themselves, or you can learn yourself when you parent them, Okay, stay calm, just relax, of course. Just roll with the punches, don't get bent out of shape, etc. Slow down, take a few deep breaths. Try to reason it out, treat each other with respect. Just things that you will say to yourself that will give you a way of self-statements that will help the child learn better coping statements. And you can see all of these are very positive. You've got to change the negative to the positive way of looking and how you're working with how you help them with their anger control. So therefore, at the end, we come with the anger behavior cycle, which is the triggers. External and internal. The external meaning the outside situation. The internal is the cognitive structures that start the distorted thinking, which lead to the leads to the cues, right? Okay. But once you start changing the external triggers, the internal triggers, and you and let the child learn about the cues, and then learn about the anger reducers, you're breaking the anger cycle at that point. And that's what you have to teach the child, is that there is a cycle and that you can help to break it by doing certain things at certain times. Questions? Easier said than done. I know. But as I said before, it's a skill training. It's not going to work right away. You have to work at it. Yeah. Okay.
Now, you deal with the parents and you go on. The child is exactly carbon-copy.
Right.
You do everything, workshop, calm down. So when you say, okay, give me a break. Now, you want a break. Now, you tell me this. Now, you tell me that, and it goes on. And it goes on like a little bit understanding, and then again, cloudy, storm, rain, a little bit of sunshine, and a little bit of rain. And it's a pattern. It's like a photocopy that keeps going, no matter how nice, good. If you give a present of flowers or a card, I don't know. Give me. How? And it's a loving child. It's a loving... And then they turn around and it's like, you're the bad guy. You made me like that. You turned me like that. You are like that. And it's a carbon copy. How do you erase it?
But it's a carbon copy of
a natural behavior of one of the parents.
So can't you change the behavior of the parent?
No.
As I said before, this is not a parenting course. But have you tried this type of thing?
Pardon? Have you? Is it a question?
Yes, it is.
This is years of, like, if you give honey, they say, it's sticky.
You know what?
It's not
I appreciate the situation, but I have a feeling I'm not going to be able to answer it here. I think I need to.
And you're never going to solve it.
That is all or none thinking distortion number one. How old is the child?
An adult.
An adult, okay.
An adult, educated.
Go ahead, please. Sorry.
You were talking earlier about the child taking responsibility.
Right.
I have a daughter who's almost 7, and anytime she gets really angry, and we usually, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, or whatever people do, if it's hitting or grabbing something, or we usually put her in her room. She won't go on her own. But we say when you calm down, when you apologize. But the thing about her is, the whole time in there, she's saying it's her sister's fault or her brother's fault or it's everyone else's fault but her own. So I'm wondering, how do you transfer responsibility to herself?
Well, one of part of it is what if a quick fix might be more of using an external behavioral method with her, like really looking at reinforce. I mean, sometimes with younger children, sometimes, you know, the little stickers and stuff like that, you're looking for one little thing that you, one time they don't do it, or they use some type of strategy that they're angry, and you sort of make a contract with them, we're going to do something like that. And sometimes you model it yourself, and you show her the model, okay? And you even talk out loud, oh, I could have blamed that person, but I didn't blame that person. I mean, there's a lot of little things that you can do to sort of start getting her to see a different perspective. Okay, but that's a negative statement. So what I would do with that type of child is go back to what I talked about. Let's go and see what the patterns are, not even blaming at that point, and then seeing if I can give her some strategies to handle it differently and look at it in a much more positive way. That's how I would do it. Right. So the problem is that with an 18, 20 month old or 24 or 2 year old is that the, some of these strategies are not going to work with her because they need some type of thinking process and stuff like that. My instinct is I would leave her alone when she gets so angry.
What was that?
Oh, sorry. You have an 18, 20-month-old, a 40-year-old that's going like an 18, 20-month. No, just kidding. Sorry. An 18, 20-month and having a lot of temper tantrums. And my philosophy is I try to feel that unless you know there's a reason why they're getting angry is to sort of ignore it as much as possible and see what happens. And then also... So I would take her out of the situation, let her have her temper tantrum at that point. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Regarding the anger management for external triggers and using it to change
the thinking.
So but what if it's a person, for instance, a teacher or other person who's promised rewards and then doesn't deliver? And so how can you change the thought about this person?
Okay, so you give me a situation that they're in a classroom
situation,
the teacher, and they don't follow through and stuff like that. But one of the things of when you do cognitive, you know, is the statement is life is not always fair, and the child has to learn that thing that it's not always fair because that means it's all or nothing. Do you get everything you want all the time? You don't. And you're going to have to learn how to cope. That's part of the thinking that you have to do. Otherwise, it gets into all or none thinking all the time. Right. Yeah, there's a gentleman there. Said.
Verbal expression as opposed to acting out.
You mean like swearing and stuff like that?
No, I mean the child is angry, and you've been so far unsuccessful in these diversionary tactics or whatever. I mean, in preparation. Or at least you haven't reached that point yet of the child being able to control their feelings of anger. So you are trying to encourage the child at least to verbally express the feelings as opposed to smashing something or even punishing themselves, banging their head on something. I'm actually asking two questions in one. One is the self-harm,
self-punishment.
The other one is, where does verbal expression of anger, and sometimes maybe legitimate anger, where does that fit into the scheme?
Okay, so again, I will go back to the ABC model. If verbal expression of anger helps them to a certain extent to make them less angry in different situations, right, then maybe I would look at it. But for me, anger is, and I should have defined it in the beginning, is verbal expressions of anger, right, is anger. And that's an anger control problem. Okay? And I would rather work with that kid to teach them some of the methods of how to control their anger by looking at their processes and thinking rather than allowing them to have expressing their anger all the time. Because what happens typically is that the arousal system gets so high that you don't know, as I showed you that ladder in the beginning, the next step is it's going to become physical. And that's the worry I always have.
So saying something like, I'm angry at you, like trying to encourage them to say, I'm angry at you, as opposed to hitting them,
If a child has been hitting and now they're saying, I'm angry, that's great. That's a great thing. But the next step is, okay, let's try to understand what makes them so angry and how they can handle it differently. In other words, if they're just saying, I'm angry at you, and they're using I statements, sure, that's great.
No, you're trying to encourage them to use the I statements instead of acting out.
But my approach is I don't want them to say, I'm angry. I wanted to learn them to reduce the anger and understand what is the pattern that gets them to be angry. Okay? I was told 3 minutes. there was just a gentleman here, right? Sorry, then I'll answer.
How far does a parent have to show anger to a child? Because when a child does something, you have to show some sort of disappointment, a sort of assertiveness, something. Show him that now I'm the parent and this behavior won't be tolerated.
As I said before, it's not a parenting course, but I feel that there is a legitimacy for a parent to get angry sometimes at their children. My statement would be, it's impossible for you not to get angry at your behavior of your children. Question is it out of control? Do you really understand when you're doing that? Has that a consequence of changing the behavior? Or is, in fact, your anger, going to the ABC model, right, that the child does something, right, and you get angry, and the consequence is that he gets angry, and therefore what happens is nothing happens. They just get, everybody gets angry. I never said that, in fact, I said right in the beginning that the idea here is for the child to take responsibility for their anger. That's all I can say. We want the child to understand that there are certain times their anger is not conducive to good pro-social behaviors. Yes.
I find that all these are great strategies. The problem that we have is that even a child who knows people, when they're in the midst of being angry, they have a very difficult time losing. Is there something that you can suggest so that when they're actually angry, they don't do it?
Right. I work with ADHD kids, some ADHD kids, and that's a real problem because when they're really hyperactive and stuff like that, and they're angry at it as well, it's really hard sometimes because of the impulsivity how to teach them. So one of the things that I try to do, and I know it sometimes works and sometimes doesn't work, is I try to get them to look at a situation where even they start thinking about what they're going to be doing. Even though they get impulsive, they do the same thing, if I can get them that little moment, right, to think a little bit differently, then I can start working a little bit with it. And with certain kids, right, it takes a long, long time. It's a maturational thing. And you're right. These strategies won't always work because they're sort of wired in such a way that it takes them a long time for that to happen. And sometimes it's more of an anxiety and stress reaction than other things as well. Yeah, well, somebody took a copy, and they were supposed to make some more, and I don't know they haven't come back, so.
Can we email them out after?
Email?
Yes.
Yeah, I can email. I can leave
it. Email it to me
at info@. Now, somebody from your bureaucracy took it. Okay. Okay, thank you.